talking about polio. Is that personal for you?
It's very personal to, for me. I got polio when I was 6 months old, so you can't separate me from polio.
No. How did it affect you?
I was completely paralyzed. I went from a bouncing baby to a little rag doll and took about 5 years of institutional care and rehabilitation to get me on my feet. And those feet were put into braces, which I've worn all my life and still wear today. And I walked for most of my life with sticks and calipers. And now I'm in a wheelchair. But it hasn't limited me very much.
No. We tend to assign polio to the past, don't we?
Well, in many ways, it's a good thing because of the vaccination and the great success with immunization through most of the Western world. We have put it in the past, and unfortunately, we've put the people in the past, and that's what this campaign is about, to say we're still here.
Yeah.
We're still alive and kicking.
And in some ways, can we say we're still marginalized in society?
Nowadays, it isn't so much in the Western world, but people are very surprised. They'll come up to me when I'm out and about in the wheelchair and say, "What happened to you? Did you have an accident?" And I say, "No, I had polio." And the reaction is quite interesting. They say, "You're still here. We thought polio was done away with years ago."
Yeah.
But unfortunately, in about five other countries, rather poor countries, although developing countries, polio is still rampant. There's still epidemics, and there's still hundreds and thousands of young people and young adults getting polio right today because of the vaccination programs not getting into Afghanistan and Nigeria and other countries.
Well, as your National Secretary of the Post Polio Support Society says, it's only a plane ride away.
That's right.
That's scary.
It's very scary, especially when developed countries like New Zealand and Australia and Canada and England and Japan and those countries, if they don't keep the vaccination level up in the population, then we're setting a place ripe for epidemics again in the future. It's rather scary.
It is. Well, when I look at the figure, the thing it says about bringing awareness of people who survived the polio epidemics during the 40s to the 60s,
yes.
I'm thinking, oh, heck, I was born in the 60s. I had no idea that there was a possibility.
Yes.
So it's not 95-year-old people that are suffering from polio.
We tend to be an ageing group, but even in New Zealand, we have immigrants coming into the country with polio. They caught it in their countries, and they've come in as 10 or 12-year-olds.
Right. Is it a carrier disease?
It is a very contagious disease when it's rampant, it's an epidemic. When it's an epidemic situation, it's very, very contagious.
The interesting thing is, though, let's look at it from a Christian point of view, is nothing should slow us down as Christians, but at the moment there are several missionaries who are back home in New Zealand who actually have disabilities.
Well, I can think of myself and two others that I've just met recently that have had polio and the after effects of polio, and one was a missionary to Pakistan. I talked to Muriel today, who I'd like to have had interviewed today, but for a variety of reasons. And you see, she was a missionary for 30 years in India. She went there as a young, athletic, musical person. And just before her marriage, she got polio in India on the mission field with a heart's desire to be a missionary and came home to New Zealand to be rehabilitated, then went back, had two children and a very successful missionary life. And, you know, all she wants to say is, we're still here.
Yeah.
And the Lord sees we're still here.
Yeah, and still being used.
And still being used, yes.
Is there ongoing treatment necessary?
Well, there is now, because a lot of people who had polio and thought they'd conquered it, thrown away their braces and sticks and the vital, energetic time of their life. Now, as we're getting older, there's something called post-polio syndrome, which is quite devastating to us who thought we'd conquered it.
What is that?
New weakness mainly, but a little bit more pain, a lot of fatigue and, not a lot of stamina. But,
Well, is that ongoing?
That's part of the condition that we live with now.
Let me rephrase that. Is that a deteriorating condition?
It is, yes.
Right.
It's like becoming an old lady before my time.
Right. That's not a good thing to have.
No, but I mean, I don't project the image of an old lady, I hope.
No, from having met you, no, you do not. But, I mean, the only advantage is you go home early, maybe, but it's not the sort of thing that you want to think about, is it?
No.
Especially,
we want to be used to the maximum while we're here.
But especially having, shall we say, conquered the problem of polio early on, to find now, later on, that, hello, it's jumping up to bite me again.
Yeah.
How do you, now, you run a, I know you run a weekly radio show in Waikato. I can't remember the station that it's on. It's on the
Access. It's an Access community radio station, yes.
Yeah. How do you address this on that program?
Well, I don't address polio so much because the program is for all types of disabilities, and under that umbrella I interview and talk about everything you can imagine.
Yep.
The program is called Talking Up Disability, and that's exactly what it is. It's talking it up. But from time to time we do have polio stories and interviews on air, especially this week while we have a special week.
Well, let's talk about that because have you spoken to Greg and Anne, or is that coming up?
No, that was last week.
That was last week.
Greg Cochran, and you know, he's been such a vital, athletic man, and then post polio hit him, and he's just hit the wall. And then Anne, who had polio as a 5-year old, now has a coaching and mentoring ministry that she does by telephone. And because of her background in polio, she's terribly gifted in helping people with coping with disabilities.
Is the network of post-polio survivors a vital one here in New Zealand, or are there people that sort of aren't connected with it that probably should be?
No, we're always looking for people who had polio in the past to join the network because they're not aware of some of their aches and pains and some of their weaknesses is to do with post-polio. So we're always looking to build up the membership so that an education thing can go on here.
Yeah. I think my education on polio was earlier this year. In fact, I grabbed a book, which I had no idea what it was about, by June Opie, called Over My Dead Body.
That's
To discover that she got polio at what was she, in her teens, I think, wasn't
she?
Yeah, and that certainly opened my eyes to what happened. But then I haven't read the follow-up book, though, which is 40 years on.
That's right. No, I haven't either.
No. Well, you'll have to get a copy of it too, won't you?
Yes, that'll be good to read.
Do
I
we know?
Met June. She's dead now, but I have met her.
Do we know how many people, how many polio survivors there are around the world?
Well, there's millions and millions, apparently, and the World Health Organization put it between 12 and 20 million people. So that's rather vague. In New Zealand, at one time, there were 10,000 people in New Zealand with post-polio. And because we're the sort of the dinosaurs of disability, we are dying off. And as we die off, fortunately, hopefully, there'll be no epidemics coming to renew that particular disability. But, there were 10,000 at one stage. Probably we're down to about 2,000 now in New Zealand.
So, I mean, apart from raising awareness of the fact that, yes, you are still here, what is the reason for the current campaign?
Well, it's to remind the public, I suppose, and to just honour and lift up and say, you know, we are still here. You know, polio's gone from the national psyche, but the people haven't, and we're just sort of blowing our own trumpet in a way, you know, and saying we're here. And sprinkled among all the polio survivors are quite a large sprinkling of people who are Christians and who had to factor, God factor into their whole disability and how that all works in. And I don't know that I have the answers, but God has certainly been my mainstay. And as you know, I've had 25 years on the mission field myself in Japan, and that's with my braces and my sticks and my disability and not being able to take my shoes off in a country that requires you to take your shoes off.
Yes. But you're still able to do what God called you to do.
Well, that's the thing, you see. I mean, it's no problem for the Lord, is it?
No.
I can't say to him, can you please excuse me? I have a disability. Don't send me to the mission field. You know, that's not going to work, is it?
Yeah, if that worked the rest of it, what excuse could I use?
Well, I don't know. But, you know, if you love the Lord like I have, and I felt I had a real destiny in Japan, because my father fought against the Japanese in the Second World War, and I believe the whole destiny and the purpose of my life was to be there.
Yeah.
You know, and you can't say to the Lord when you get to heaven, well, excuse me, you didn't tell me, so I'm not going to go.
You might be in big trouble there. Edith, good talking with you. Thanks for your time.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Edith Morris, who is with Post Polio Support Waikato, also runs the radio show, the weekly radio show, Talking Up Disability. If you want to find out more about that, then the easiest way would be to, well, if you're in Hamilton, of course, you just tune into 106.7 on Tuesdays at 11 in the morning, or you could go to catchword.co.nz/radio. That might help. catchword.co.nz/radio, and that'll give you all the information there. In fact, just catchword.co.nz. That'll do it. It's Edith's website.